first 9 verses. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace that covers our sins. Thank you for the great salvation that you have given us through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart, remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to see, first off, the gift that was given to Paul. And there's a gift given to each one of us that we sometimes fail to see as a gift. But it is a gift that keeps us usable in God's service. It is a gift that keeps us humble before our God. The key to the Christian life is humility. Have you figured that out yet? Humility is everything. The Bible says God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. If we are proud and think we can do this all ourselves, then we're on our own and we fail. But when we humble ourselves before God, he will lift us up by his grace and we will be successful. Let's look at the gift. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, first off, God gives us a tremendous gift through the truth. When we understand the truth of the gospel, that is a tremendous gift. You see, the gospel's been perverted for so many years that most people do not understand the true gospel. The true gospel is simply that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. You say, how does that affect me? When I put my trust in Jesus Christ, he saves me apart from any merit on my own. There is nothing that I can do to help God save me. I am totally dependent upon God. That's a gift. And knowing that truth is a gift. And sometimes we want to get puffed up from the knowledge. Sometimes we want to be proud. We've got the inside track. We know the truth, and other people don't know the truth. But God also gave Paul something else. Paul seen things that he couldn't even talk about. I'm assuming about 14 years earlier, Paul was stoned. They took him outside the city and they stoned him and left him for dead. He was covered up. I assume that's when he was caught up into the third heaven. And there he saw things and heard things that he couldn't even tell us about. So all of that blessing that he had would puff him up. But he said, I was given another gift. And that was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. A thorn in the flesh is what he called it. A thorn in the flesh causes us to get in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, we do what sinners do, and that is we sin. And so that thorn in the flesh was a gift to him to keep him from being puffed up. And he said, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to be fleshly. I don't want things that the devil can use to pull me into the flesh. I want to be spiritual at all times, and don't we all? But there's always that thorn in the flesh that the devil can use to bring us down, and God uses that to keep us humble. Now, the gift that God gives, first off, is the witness. This is Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I have the witness, you have the witness as a child of God, of the Holy Spirit. You know in your heart that you're saved. That's a tremendous gift. God has given us the assurance. If you don't have that assurance, let me tell you, when Jesus saves us, he seals us. There's a part of a Christian that cannot sin. Did you know that? 1 John 3, verse 9 says this, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, we all know that the flesh can still sin, but the spirit cannot. You see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so here we understand that we are sealed into the day of redemption. We do not have the opportunity to lose our salvation. And so that is a tremendous gift that God gives us. The Spirit bears witness with us that we are the children of God and will always be the children of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Then there is the wisdom that God gives. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, God offers wisdom to all of us. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He will give you wisdom. We get wisdom from the Word. As we study God's Word, and as we begin to obey God's Word, he gives us more and more and more understanding, more and more wisdom. And that is a gift from God. But I want you to see also in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7, that part of the gift is a weakness. We don't like this. We don't really understand this, but it's there. Listen to what he says. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now we'll stop right there for a minute. The reason that he says that is because he is not saying, I am the example of godliness, because he wasn't. I can't say I'm the example of godliness. Jesus Christ is the example of godliness. We preach Jesus because we are just like you. We are sinners saved by grace. And so when we understand that, then we don't look to a man, but we look to God. Now let's go ahead. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That is what God has done to every child that has received Christ as Savior. He has shined the light of the gospel into the heart and has transformed that person into a child of light. Even though we may not always look like it, we always are children of the light. But look at the next verse. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Why didn't God completely change us when he saved us? Why didn't he make our flesh holy rather than just our spirit? I'll tell you why. He tells us right here in the last of this verse, "So that the glory might be to God, not to us." You see, if we were all completely sinless, we would have no message that would even communicate with a lost person, because they know they can't be like us. But because we're like every lost person in the world, we can share with them. And witnessing is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're no better in our flesh than we were when we got saved. We're exactly the same. And so God leaves that little hook, that little thorn in the flesh, so that the devil can humble us when we get too big for our britches. You see, we're useless when we are proud. We're useless when we think we're really something for the Lord. We're useless. But God has left a way to bring us down. Now, the next thing I want you to see is grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. Grace covers a multitude of our sins. Grace is what transforms us. Grace is what saves us. Listen to what he says in the verse 8 and the first part of 9. "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you recognize the weakness, when you recognize your thorn in the flesh, whatever it is the devil uses, it's what Hebrews calls the sin that does so easily beset us. When you recognize what your thorn in the flesh is, how many have asked God, "Remove this from me. I don't want this. I don't want this weakness. I don't want this thorn in my flesh so that the devil can trip me up all the time." And you wonder why God doesn't take it away. Well, Paul did too. He said, 3 times I asked him, "Take this away from me. I don't want to have anything in my life that's not honoring to God." But he said, "My grace is sufficient." For years, I thought he was saying, just get in grace, Paul, and you can overcome this. That's not what he's saying. He said, "My grace covers this sin. And you need the humbling once in a while. Every once in a while, I have to let the devil get a hold of you to pull you down to where you humble yourself before me. And don't worry, my grace got you covered." You see, here's something we need to understand. We only see our sin when we sin. God sees it all the time. Underneath the umbrella of God's grace, there is a wicked flesh. But God's grace got it covered up. We can't see it. And so we go through life, God's looking at all the filth and the wickedness. As a matter of fact, he says, "Don't judge anybody else, because you, the judge, you do the same thing." You say, "Well, wait a minute, I don't do that. If I judge somebody for being a murderer, I don't murder people." God says, "Don't make me prove that to you." It's in there. There's only one sinful nature. We've all got it. And so if it were not for God's grace, we would self-destruct. And God sees that all the time in us. So we go through life, and we haven't sinned in a little while, and everything's going good. All of a sudden, we start saying, "You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm, I tell you what, I about got this figured out. And all of a sudden, the Lord just pulls his grace back a little bit, and we bite the dust. God doesn't make us sin. He just doesn't stop us from sinning. See, while you're walking in the Spirit, God is controlling your sinful nature. He's keeping you from sin. And so when you go through life humbly, God is covering you with his grace and everything is wonderful and you're just doing excellent. And the devil says, you know, you're doing pretty good. Well, I haven't tripped you up in 20 minutes. And we say, you're right. I am doing good. That's a mistake. So the Lord says, okay. And he pulls that grace back. And you know, all it takes is just a little opening. And our flesh runs out. And the flesh is sinful from beginning to end. There is no good whatsoever in our flesh. And so whenever the Lord pulls that back just a little bit, we run right to it. And then we're so sorry. And we wish we hadn't done that. And oh, I've tried hard not to do that, Lord. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to come back to him and say, Lord, I got pride. I got to thinking I was something when I was nothing. I deceived myself. And I want you to cover me with your grace one more time. And he says, that's where I wanted you. Anyway, covers back up. You see, God wants you to always be under his grace. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God has us covered. He has everything we need. His grace is sufficient. You see, we understand the sufficiency of his grace while we're walking in it because we don't see any sin. We're just doing wonderful. Everything's good. But God's grace is sufficient then, just like it is when he lets it out. His grace pulls it back in. See? He just says, don't worry about it. You stay humble, you'll never see it. You get proud, got to use it. I got to bring you in. I got to bring you back to where you need to be. And that's what the thorn in the flesh is all about. Let me tell you something about grace. There's a freedom. Grace frees us. Listen to John 5:24, one of my favorite verses. I got a lot of them, as you may know. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see the finality in that. You believe in Jesus Christ, you already have eternal life. You're not waiting to get it one day. You've got it right now. And there's a tremendous freedom in that. There's nothing you can do to mess that up. If you could, you would. But you can't. God's made it to where we can't mess that up. And so that is a tremendous freedom that we have. I heard somebody saying the other day, they have liberty in Christ to drink. Well, you know that the Bible doesn't say anywhere in there, thou shalt not drink. It says not to get drunk. But I'll tell you this. You ask yourself this question. If somebody knew I was drinking, would that offend them? I promise you it would. The Bible says that we're not to do anything that causes a brother or sister to stumble. See, we don't use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. We have to be very careful what we do so that we don't affect other people. I remember one time a deacon came over to my house and he wanted to argue, wasn't it, his church? He wanted to argue with me about this alcohol thing. So he came in, he sat down, he said, Pastor, I think I've got liberty to drink if I want to. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, good. Let me get us a couple of beers. And he said, what? He said, "You can't drink." I said, "Why not? I got the same liberty you got." He said, "Well, that just wouldn't be right." I said, "Well, if it ain't right for me, it ain't right for you." You see, offense is a very dangerous thing. Whenever we use our freedom, we affect somebody else. And whenever we lead somebody else into something that they're not sure about, the Bible says if any man thinks something is sin, it's a sin for him. May not be for you, but it is for them because they think it is. So the freedom that we have in Christ is complete freedom. Listen, I have liberty. What liberty means is there's nothing you can do that will condemn you to hell. That's what it means. That doesn't make it right. I have liberty to kill people. That won't send me to hell. But that don't make it right. I have liberty to do anything without going to hell, but I do not have freedom to sin because sin is its own reward. Grace brings fellowship. Listen to this. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin." Grace enables us to fellowship with God. God has enabled us through the Spirit that lives within us to have that close fellowship with him. And as we walk in the light, does not mean that we're sinless. It means that we agree with God about everything. Whenever we do wrong, we know it's wrong. And we confess it is wrong. You see, the light is our standard. And that's the reason he says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, if there's no sin, why does he need to cleanse us from it? See, it's not a matter of us not being sinful. It's just a matter of us agreeing with God. That's what confession is all about. And grace forgives. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what grace is about in our lives. Now I want you to see the glory. We said that the glory goes to God. When we start competing for the glory, and we start feeling proud of what God is doing in us, we start feeling proud of the information God has given us and the wisdom that God has given us, and all of that, we're competing with God for his glory. We can't do that. Listen to what he says here. The last part of verse 9. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, what exactly is he glorying in? That's the question. First off, we glory in the fact that we are sinners. Did y'all get that? Say, wait a minute. How is that something we can glory in? We glory in the fact that we know we're sinners. You see, listen to 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul recognized himself as a sinner right up. He wrote this book just before he was beheaded. He said, "I'm still chief of sinners." Knowing that we are sinners keeps us humble so that God doesn't have to use the thorn in our flesh. The more you realize who you are in the flesh, the more you are able to keep that mindset and humble yourself before God. Don't compete with God for his glory. The best you will ever be is a sinner saved by grace. You'll never be any better than that. And so being that is a blessing if you understand it. I'm glad that God has not made us zombies who just do what we're supposed to do. Because we couldn't witness. Because people can't relate to that. But they can relate to the fact that we're sinners. I remember one time I witnessed to an old man. He was probably 75. And he was a rascal. I mean, he was. First time I met him, he found out I was a preacher. He cussed me up one side and down the other. He would just tell me all about how bad preachers were. And he got done. I said, amen, we are. You're right. He didn't know what to do with that. And so I was fixing to try to witness to him, and he would balk everything. And he said, you don't understand who you're talking to. He said, I am a wicked man. And I said, well, it's good that you recognize that. He said, God couldn't save me. And I started witnessing to him, and I just broke down and started crying. It's embarrassing. You know, here I am, I'm trying to talk to this man, and it just broke my heart, and I cried. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I looked up, he's crying too. Big old tears running down his cheeks. I told him, I said, Slim, if God can save me, he can save anybody. He looked at me, he said, you must have really been a rascal. I said, still am. But God loves me, and he loves you too. He said, I need that. And right there, he received Christ as his Savior. If I'd have been out there glowing in the dark because I'm so holy, he wouldn't have had anything to do with that. He couldn't relate to that. But you see, the fact that we understand that we're still sinners. Sinners, yes, saved by grace, but sinners. People can relate to that because everybody knows they're a sinner. Everybody does. And what they need is a Savior who can save sinners. Jesus said he came into the world to save sinners. And that's a wonderful truth. Then we glory in the fact that we are safe. You know, one of the things that made me try so hard not to be a sinner was I felt like every time I sinned, I was losing my salvation. Well, you know, whenever you think that, sin is, it takes on a whole different perspective. Because every time you sin, you think, well, I blew that. I used to make this foolish prayer. Lord, if you'll forgive me one more time, I promise I'm not going to do it anymore. And then I would do it again. God has given us a freedom and has kept us safe so that we don't have to pretend to be holy. You know, there's a lot of churches today where people are pretending to be holy because they don't know how to be holy. And they're just pretending to be holy. Had a pastor tell me one time, he said, I can't remember the last time I sinned. That's a bald-faced lie. And I asked him, I said, other than lying, what do? He just kind of snickered. You know, I knew he was lying. He knew he was lying. Why do people lie about it? Because they're not safe. They don't feel safe to say, yes, I'm a sinner. I don't know what to do about it. I'm a sinner. But you see, when we are safe in the arms of Jesus, we can admit to anybody, yeah, I'm a sinner. Wish I wasn't. But ask God to take it away. I'm still a sinner. Now, let me tell you something, folks. All God would have to do is just think the thought and you would be sinless. Just like your spirit's sinless. He could take every thought away from you. Every sin. Just like that. He didn't choose to do that. Because he wants you to be able to talk to a sinner as a sinner. And say, I know somebody who saves sinners. It's like he saved me. People can relate to that And so we need to understand that we are safe. You have to be safe before you can do that. Listen to what Hebrews 7, 22 through 25 says. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We're safe in Christ Jesus. No sin can destroy you. That's the reason God says, my grace is sufficient. You're not in any trouble here. You're not going to fall away. All this is going to do is humble you, and you're going to come back to me humble, and my grace is going to cover you right back up. You see, God loves us so much that he will not let us get proud. He's not going to let you stay in that proud state. He's going to bring you down. And he's going to turn the devil loose on you with your thorn in the flesh until you're humble before him. And we glory in the fact that even sinners as we are, we're sent by God to other sinners to tell them how to find peace with Almighty God. Listen to what he says here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is in heaven, is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, notice he didn't say to you. He said to me. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, we have a commission to go and tell. A lot of people have told me, I just don't feel worthy to witness to anybody. That's the first qualification. The power is with God. It's not with you. The goodness is with God, not with you. You're just a sinner. Go and tell some other sinner Jesus saves. There's nothing more powerful than admitting to somebody, yes, I'm a sinner. I try not to be, but I'm a sinner. Jesus has saved me, and I'm sealed. I'm going to heaven when I die, and I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And you can have the same assurance because the same Jesus who saved me will save you. Nothing more powerful than that witness right there. You say, well, I don't know all the stuff to say. You can say that. And people will respond to that. Jesus died to save sinners. And you see, we are totally unusable to God. Now I want you to listen to this. This is important. If you're going around and you're living holy, and you're proud of the fact that you haven't sinned in a long time, you're useless to God. If you're covered by God's grace, and you say, right now, I'm covered by God's grace, but I know what's underneath that grace. I know how bad it is. I know if God takes his grace off me, I'm going to run in sin. Then you're useful. You see, God wants you in that state. And so every once in a while, he has to give you a peek of what's underneath that grace. That's your thorn in the flesh. Whatever the devil has in your life that he can get a hold of you and humble you before God is your thorn in the flesh. You say, well, what do I do with it? Ask God to take it away. And if he don't take it away, then go as long as you can without getting proud. You know, if you can go 10 minutes without getting proud and have to be humbled, then say, okay, next time I'm going to try to go 15 minutes without getting proud and getting humbled. And then I'm going to go for 30 minutes. And just keep on stressing it out till one day maybe you can go 2 weeks walking with the Lord without getting too proud Because that's what happens. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You get proud, you're going down. And it's by design. God wants us to depend on Him. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And what does it mean? We're always weak. It's when I recognize my weakness that I'm strong. Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thank God when you recognize your weakness. Thank God when you can boldly say, yes, I'm a sinner, and Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. When we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, then it makes it easy for us not to compete with Him, but to serve Him in spirit and truth. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, He'll save you. You say, well, I don't deserve it. You're right, none of us do. I can't live up to it. You're right, none of us can. But Jesus saves sinners. All He asks you to do is just to declare your sinfulness to Him. My life does not line up with your holy scriptures. Please save me by your grace. That's all it takes. You see, Jesus died to save you. He wants to save you. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what repentance is? It's not turning from your sin. If you could do that, you wouldn't need a Savior. It's turning from self to Savior, trying to work your way to heaven, trying to have more good in your life than bad. All of that, you repent of that. You say, I can't do that. I can't save myself. Lord, be merciful to be a sinner, and He'll save you. Just like that. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus' salvation, this is your opportunity. You can't help Jesus save you. But when you throw yourself upon His mercy, you're saved. Maybe you're here and you just need to come to the altars and pray. That's always open. You don't even have to tell me why. Just come up here and pray. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, let Him have His way. Humble yourself before your God, and He will exalt you in due time. Let's pray. Father, we come before Your throne. We thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You for the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, that You would open their understanding, that they might grasp the truth, and that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.